Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
Welcome back to the Bumblecast. We're back. We have returned on the Wednesday, feeling good on a Wednesday, and we're here. We're going to answer some of your burning questions. I don't know why they're burning. We should probably put them out, but I don't know. They've been burning this whole time. I guess we'll just let them burn as we go along. Anyway, how are you doing, Ian?
I'm doing all right. I'm ready to get into this set of the standard Q&A. These are real questions that we've gotten from... Is this a particular set or is this just from everywhere?
Real questions? Real questions from real people, maybe. We don't know if they're real or not. They might not be real, but the questions are real. Anyway, they're all from our August and October live streams.
So oh, lovely.
We're doing some catch up on those. So are we ready to hop right on in?
Let's do it.
Alrighty. Here's a question to start us off. From Renaissance Girl. Will there eventually be an arc diving deeper into how Sonic met Tails? I feel like there's so much more to it than just Tails followed Sonic and Sonic let him tag along.
I don't know if we'll get to do that, to be honest, because that's classic era. And I don't know when we'll be able to go back and do that. And you're right, there could be more to it. You could build upon that foundation, but there really isn't a ton more to be said. Part of the appeal of their dynamic duo is they just are, you know, they just sync. Tails is inspired by Sonic. Sonic's a cool enough dude to inspire. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, having to be more depth to that is, yeah, it would be kind of neat, but we've seen it a few times kind of here and there. I'm specifically remembering the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog version, which was obviously very silly and not canon. But, you know, I don't feel like it's really too necessary to go beyond what's been established. Anyway, here's a question from Gracie C. Have you seen The Nightmare Before Christmas? What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I have a few times. Kyle, what about you?
Yes, I have. I have seen it several times. Great movie. It's certainly not flawless.
No.
But no movie is. And, you know, it's very, very entertaining, regardless. So, musically, I mean, fantastic. The designs, the look of everything is just, oh, man, on point. Such a beautiful looking film.
And you could probably tear it to shreds in terms of narrative flow, but
yeah,
I don't know. There's something charming and whimsical about it. It kind of feels like a fairy tale. It's not something that you're supposed to get a lot of deep and meaningful insight into. It's a fun story.
Yeah.
It's about Halloween taking over Christmas. It's about Jack wanting more out of life and realizing what he truly had at home. There you go. That's the deeper message, and just enjoy it. And for the stop motion animation of the period, it still holds up incredibly well.
Yeah. That's the thing about stop motion animation. It still looks good because
some of it anyway.
Well, I mean, with the ones with a budget, the stop motion animation with a budget still looks good because it's practical, you know? It holds up. It's timeless. It's a timeless look. Not like CG, where CG can be...
Yeah, that's
CG. CG
lot.
Is very shaky. Yes. Oh, absolutely. There's some CG that kind of holds up, but for the most part, no.
Compare Ray Harryhausen to Lawnmower Man, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I will randomly break into Kidnap the Santa Claus year round. That lives rent free in my head.
It's a great song. Oh, man. So many great songs in that movie. Absolutely. Here's this one from Mecha from the 80s. What happened to warp rings and warp ring technology in the future in Sonic 30 years later? Dr. Finitivus made them, but he is nowhere to be seen. I mean,
excellent question.
wasn't he pretty old in the current in the current time. If you go 30 years later, maybe he's just dead.
Well, I didn't think he was that old. Not at least in my head.
I don't know. I don't know how old he is. I mean, what's old in Sonic's world? 20? 20?
Well, when it comes to echidnas, you really have to push that number.
That's true. It's true.
The truth of the matter is that those stories were not written with that plot line in mind or any of those elements, which is why I and pretty much everyone else involved said it was not the canon future, because then you run into problems like this. You know, when stuff comes up that you don't account for, or since comics are a collaborative art form, when somebody else contributes and it doesn't quite jive, then, you know, you have to either bend over backwards to explain everything away, or you just say 30 years later is an alternate future and not everything has to sync up perfectly.
Yeah. It's weird. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it too hard. Your head might explode. Now,
given my profession, I want to answer that question legitimately. Like what happened?
I know.
What really happened. And the truth of it is, I don't think we ever got to that point in figuring it out. I could spin headcanon on the spot right now, but we didn't have anything planned to address that I can remember.
Yes, that makes sense. All right, here's a question from Hyper Metarulin. What if Fiona Fox was in Sonic 2 instead of Tails? And I mean, the more rebellious Fiona. Weird headcanon, but okay. Weird thought exercise.
I mean, I guess the adventure would end after, Metropolis. Well, yeah. I guess it would end after Metropolis because Sonic's the only one between the two of them that can fly a plane. And I don't think Fiona had the skill to get through Sky Chase, let alone jump onto the Wing Fortress and go from there. So Eggman would win, I guess. In that scenario,
I figured maybe they would play with it as more of a she's an antagonist that randomly shows up, but she'd be Knuckles' role in Sonic 3, except then she'd be in Sonic 2.
Yeah, which
that's I could see, but
interesting in so far as you know, you go through the stage up to a point, and then nope, she blocks your path or does something to cause problems. She's the one who floods that gap in chemical plant. That stupid freaking vertical corridor. It's her fault.
Yep.
She did this. Uh-oh. She did this to us.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I can see that. I don't have anything else. Here's a question from Almiron. Mr. Flynn, what games from the classic Sonic series do you think would be part of the classic universe in IDW?
Well, 1 through 3 and Knuckles and CD, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I would, and apparently Sonic R. Like, I've got that kind of confirmed that Sonic R counts. So, okay, I'm cool with that. Beyond that, I would imagine 3D Blast, Flicky's Island, whatever you want to call it, would count, because that was like the last major console Sonic game before the switch to modern. Beyond that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I would like to include as much as possible, you know, adapt some of the Game Gear games. I want fighters recognized, if nothing else than to bring Honey into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I want Tails' two games in there because I love the Battle Birds, and you know, Tails needs a little more love, so why not?
Yep.
But what is official? The only safe bet are the Genesis and the CD games. And the rest will just have to wait and see.
And Mania.
Well, yeah, Mania. Absolutely Mania.
Yeah. Yup. Seems as such. But what about Sonic Drift? Gotta have those. Both of them. Sonic Drift 1 and 2. They are absolutely canon. I will not accept anything otherwise. I will not. Their storylines are amazing, mind-blowing stuff for Sonic Game Gear games, man. Just,
I mean,
absolutely can't forget them. They are essential.
It does give Fang the Marvelous Queen, so...
Okay, that's the one thing it does. In case anybody's wondering, yes, this is a joke. That said, I do still want to see Sonic in a car, you know, in a little go kart. I mean, he is learning to drive, apparently. So
there you go. There you go.
Yep. Here's a question from Aaron M. Speaking of null space, if one was trapped there for a while, say longer than in Sonic Forces, how do you think this would affect them? Like, would they age? How does time work there?
Trying to remember how Eggman described it. Like, he said it was a, you know, lightless, endless, nothing void, which by that regard, there probably shouldn't be oxygen, so you would die, but let's not think too hard about it.
These are characters that can breathe in space, Ian. That's, yeah.
Touche.
Yeah, let's not think about it too much.
And there's clearly something to run on because Sonic and Buddy get out of there together. But I don't know, maybe it's like one giant perpetual sensory deprivation chamber,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, going by real biology, you'd go blind and crazy pretty darn quick if you don't starve first.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be a good time. It would be a very bad time. Kind of like a nightmare, just stuck in nothing, unable to even tell which way you're facing, drifting forever, shouting out for help of any kind, but you can't even tell if you're making sound or if that's just what you're hearing in your own head. And there's no passage of time because there's no light. There's no sense of anything around you. Good. Awful.
You are drifting forever. Sonic drifting forever. It all comes back to Sonic Drift, man. See, I told you.
Your racing addiction is starting to worry me, sir.
Well, I'm not that addicted because I recognize that Sonic Drift and Sonic Drift 2 aren't very good. So, I mean, in terms of Sonic racing games, they're definitely on the on the lower end. Below even Sonic R. But oof. Whatever.
Scathing.
Whatever. Sonic R is not that bad. I like Sonic R, actually. It's a fun game. It's weird, but it's fun. Anyway, here's a question from Robin M. Will there ever be a day when Sega allows a brief scene that depicts Sonic barefoot? Why are we back to this topic?
Because it's a weird one.
Because Sonic fans are weird.
No, the feet, I mean. The feet in the Sonic's universe are weird.
The feet are weird. The fans are weird. Everything's weird, Ian. Okay? I mean, I say that out of love and respect. You're all weird. I'm weird too. I'm weird too, so it's fine. I am a Sonic fan. That makes me weird. So yes, I'm weird, and so is everybody else.
So here's the weird thing.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I don't think we will ever see Sonic shoeless.
Okay.
However, we have seen Amy and Tails and Big all shoeless, and
we have
the Avatar characters shoeless. So we know what the feet look like. So we can extrapolate that Sonic would just have blue blobs at the end of his noodle legs. Mm-hmm. So we know really what it would look like. It's not that hard to piece together, but I don't think they'll ever take his shoes off purely for branding reasons. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, the blob feet, God, the blob feet are weird. I don't like that. That's, yeah. And be bad enough that they were just like, you know, flippers, so it kind of sounds like, you know, raw chicken hitting the floor every time they take a step. But the fact that in Sonic Forces you put sandals on and it kind of morphs around the sandal thong, so they're kind of gelatinous or something. It's just, what is it? What is with the feet? They're weird. They are super weird.
I mean, feet in general really aren't my thing, so I mean, have fun, guys, but not really for me. No thanks. What kind of feet do you like, Ian?
Normal feet. I don't care about feet.
Okay, good. Okay, that's okay. I'm glad. All right, here's one from Tony C. Have you ever thought of creating a rival or enemy to Blaze? Non-robot, I mean. How about world-building that dimension?
Oh, absolutely. I want to go whole hog on Blaze's dimension, but that would take a great deal of time and attention away from Sonic. Sure, we could bring Sonic over. Maybe he's the one exploring and experiencing this alongside Blaze, but you know, we'd have to leave the main world behind for an extended period to really get in there. And sure, you can bring over other characters, but the hassle of explaining why so many are getting beamed over, and then you're managing the cast, plus you're introducing the new stuff, and it gets really complicated really fast. Just bleh. Blaze just needs her own book. That's all there is to it.
Indeed. Absolutely. She truly should get that.
I am a sucker for rivals / antitheses to heroes. So I would not be opposed to like everybody getting one. Yeah, sure, it would get old, but darn it, I want it. So yeah. I don't know. If we get the opportunity, sure, I'd love to go nuts on it. That all depends on how much I get to contribute in the future and what Sega would allow and blah, blah, blah. You know the drill by now.
Yeah, yeah. In an alternate universe, you write the long-running series Blaze the Cat instead of Sonic the Hedgehog. So.
Oh, my God, dude.
Sonic is a fairly obscure character who showed up in a few games, but otherwise he's not nearly as well-known as Blaze, who is legendary and well-known throughout the world. So,
yo, just a quick aside, you know, those little short stories that have been coming out of Sega Japan on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, have you read the Blaze one?
No, I haven't. But it's the Sonic Channel stuff, you mean?
Yeah. Sonic Channel stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a 2-part story and it's just really cool. And like, it feels like something I would pitch almost. Like, it's got the jeweled scepter. It's got the koala guards. It has Blaze, you know, having a bit of a character introspective growth moment. Sonic is kind of flippant and cool. There's a really creepy surprise cameo by Captain Whisker at one point that I don't want to spoil if you haven't read yet. It's just like, all the stories have been kind of neat and fun. It's like, okay, these are cool. But that one's like, yeah, that is my jam. I want to consider this canon. I want to build off of this. Give me more.
Do it, Ian. Do it. Do it. Pitch. Pitch. Pitch it. Gotta throw something at the wall, see if it sticks. Here's one from Bony Cheese. If Eggman Nega is dead, what happened to his army? Like, is Johnny now the commander?
Actually, this ties back into what I was just ranting about. That Blaze story actually kind of addresses what happened to the robot pirates, which is crazy. That's just wild. I don't think they were specifically his forces. I think they were more of a combo by him and regular Eggman. Aside from Metal 3.0, he didn't really seem to have definitive forces. Like, there weren't his style of robots or anything, which is why I'm perfectly content to say he's gone, because he kind of self-contained.
Yeah. Alrighty. Here's one from the Uranium Skull. Who do you think is the better treasure hunter, Wario or Flintheart Glomgold? If they ever met, would they fight or just team up only to inevitably betray one another?
I don't think they'd even get to the team up phase.
No, of course not.
They would be immediately at each other's throats. And I dare say Wario is the much better treasure hunter.
He has a successful business.
Yeah, like, he wins his games, and he retains staff at WarioWare.
Yep.
I mean, for all his faults, he is a successful businessman and treasure hunter. Glomgold is successful only until he's not. He's always into this perpetual state of, here he is reaching the climax and he's going to fail at some point. He will undercut himself.
Yes.
He would definitely be a problem. He would cause, you know, a headache for Wario. But yeah, Wario would win hands down.
Yeah. Wario would just pick him up and shake all the money out of him. Yes, I like it. I like it. I do like that scenario, though. That would be fantastic. Like, I don't know, some kind of crossover animation or something. Crossover animated series or even a game would be fun. Like, I think Wario would be sort of the main character and Flint Heart would just show up.
Just do a series of short videos of Glomgold stuck in various WarioWare games screaming as he tries to fight for his life.
Yes. That too.
He can escape if he can win the game, but he can't figure out what any of the games are, so he's stuck forever.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have one last question before we take a quick break from MSP169. If Cream is able to fly, do you personally wonder if Vanilla could? I know Cream being able to fly is something not to think about too hard and just accept, but it makes me wonder.
Headcanon? Vanilla can totally fly. Mm-hmm. She hasn't done it for years, but she used to do it in her youth, and then she settled down and didn't do it. I would love for there to be a moment where things are super dramatic and dire and there's no one left to save anybody. Oh no, what's going to happen as whoever falls down the cliff? Egad, they're going to drop to their doom, and then Vanilla just whoosh, swoops down like an eagle and grabs them and yes. Like lands on the other end. It's like, that's really hard to do in a full dress. Let's not do that again. And Cream's like, oh my god, mother, you could do this all along. And she's like, yes, dear, where do you think you got it from? Certainly wasn't from your father.
Whoever, leave it at that. whoever they were. Also, why is Cream British? Is she British? Is that what she sounds like?
But once you get polite enough, you default to British.
Okay, I guess. I don't know if that's okay.
It's basic science.
Sure. Okay. Headcanon. Headcanons ahoy here on the Bumblecast. fire the headcanons. Anyway, as we get our headcanons ready for the next salvo, let's take a break. And we'll be back with more questions on Bumblecast. And we have returned. Here's a question from Certified Nobody. What name would you give the unnamed Sonic robot from Adventure if it appeared in IDW? Lots of people asking about this guy recently.
Yeah, and again, I'm convinced that's
Meckle Sonic.
Eggman's worst robot yet, Mecklemore.
Hey, man, he had to get the parts from a thrift shop.
He's got 20 flickies in his pocket. I'm convinced that's Mechasonic 3.0. And if we get the chance, that's the one I'm going to pitch. See if that clicks. See if that goes.
All right. Here's one from Syed C. Would you say Infinite was in a pseudo super form in Forces, considering his abilities and how hard he was to beat?
No, because, I mean, by that logic, Mephiles was also some kind of pseudo super form. For me, super forms are like a full transformation and unlocks a level of power that just you do not have normally. Infinite's very nature is kind of unclear, but it seems like he was kind of hardwired into that Phantom Ruby prototype. So it's not like he was transformed. It's more like he had it added to him. And sure, his power set was ridiculous, but that was more of him channeling the Phantom Ruby power. That's not like supersonic gaining invulnerability and flight and whatever odd power he has per game. You know, I wouldn't count that as a pseudo super form. That's just a really, really broken power set.
It feels like we're splitting hairs on this, really, but
yeah, I think you can make a case for it either way, but I wouldn't think of it that way myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, don't tell Sega. They might be like, oh, nope, Infinite no longer exists. He's been erased from canon because super cannot happen for anybody except male hedgehogs.
Now, I don't know if you've been playing Sonic Forces Speed Battle lately.
Nah, it's been a while.
But they are doing a nifty event where, spoiler alert, they're building up towards Infinite. I think it's pretty obvious, but some folks still seem to be kind of surprised by this, where randomly some kind of Phantom Ruby digital thing interrupts your race and starts throwing weird phantom effects at you, and you get a special Phantom Ruby style treasure chest at the end of the race. And even the character in the lineup shows up as all distorted. And then on the Sega Hard Light Twitter, they've been doing fake update tweets saying, okay, we know there's some kind of weird bug character in the game. We're trying to fix it. And then the last update, the image itself is all distorted and the text starts to go into like gobbledygook at the end saying, we don't know how to fix this. Please send help. And it's like, okay, that's really neat. If you're going to bring Infinite into the game, that's the way to do it. That's super cool.
Yeah. They're getting very meta with it. That's pretty cool.
I appreciate that attention to detail.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Nicely done. Nicely done. I feel like Sega Hard Light really, for mobile games that are decent but aren't like amazing, I feel like they've actually got some they got some love for the franchise, it seems like, and they're doing the best with what they've got, so I like it. And here's one from Mayan Frider 100,000. Who's your favorite hero? Here's your favorite villain slash hero from comics or manga, and if you can write a story for them, what would it be?
Oh God. That is a wide net that has been cast before me. I mean, just saying comics is one thing. Comics and manga, good lord.
Yeah. Could we cop out and say Sonic?
If I had the opportunity to do like a guest script in My Hero Academia, that would be ludicrously cool. That will never happen, but it would be super, super cool. That's hero and villain alike. That'll cover all those bases. And you know, I grew up a big fan of, you know, 90s era X-Men, so any of those guys, especially Apocalypse, he was my favorite out of all the X villains. I have no idea what I would do with them, because what the status quo for X-Men right now is really weird compared to where they were in the 90s. So, you know, maybe some kind of standalone thing. So many possibilities. It all really depends on what the editors would let me get away with and where I'm coming in on the book. I don't know. I'm kind of spoiled for choice on that question. That's a little crazy.
It's a very, very open-ended question.
Maybe specifically Riddler out of Batman. I've always freaking loved the bowler hat look and the three-piece suit, like out of the animated series. And I really liked how for a time he was a, I don't want to say hero, but maybe an anti-villain, that he went private investigator. And so he had that arrogance still, but he was using that genius for technically good. And I thought that was a fun twist on, you know, someone who has been written as the same thing for so long.
Right.
I would like to see that brought back.
He's always kind of lived in the shadow of Joker. He's always been like the kind of not really the, like a Joker light, really, is kind of how he's come across, which I think is really a shame and kind of reductive of his character, so.
Well,
I think to have him get more focus would be pretty cool.
At the same time, Joker has become so inescapable.
That's right, yeah.
That I kind of like that Riddler can be a B-tier villain. He doesn't have to be the villain that you shoehorn into every single freaking event.
Right.
Or like with the Arkham games, where he's showing up just to be a dick.
Yeah.
He's hiding the puzzles everywhere. Yes.
That's
cool. That's fine. That works just fine. He's still kind of a threat, but he's not like the in-your-face threat.
Yeah.
And there's been a few interpretations of him, wildly different ones. I really didn't like when they tried to make him the grim and serious, like, serial murderer.
Nah.
It's like he's Saw, and it's like, no, come on. For pity, there's this page out of a older comic where he's reminiscing about the old days, about how the supervillains would, you know, kind of all go to the club in costume together and, you know, rob the music museum or whatever. And then he gets all quiet and he says, Joker's killing people, for God's sake. When did it stop being fun? And it's like, yes. That was like the quintessential commentary on the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah.
So this is more of a general thought on Batman in general, I guess. But I don't know. I like my silly, arrogant Riddler over anything else.
I do agree with you. I like the top hat and everything, the three-piece suit. He has a great presentation, you know? But he's not like a monster like Joker is. He's not really a murderer, I don't think, really.
Depends on the incarnation.
Yeah, but he's not really in the same league as Joker in that sense.
No, so. He has not filled graveyards.
No. He's not like that. So, but he's still got that great just, you know, look about him, and he's like, it's just got this larger than life charisma and everything. It's great. I'd love to see more Riddler. So, yeah, good choice. All right, here we go with another question. This time from Mystery Flavor. Ian, how do you figure out the names for new characters?
Sometimes the name comes first, and sometimes it's the traits of the character that come first. Like Rough and Tumble, that their name was the joke. That was the very beginning. And, you know, you could tack on just about anything to those names, and as long as they fit the role, that is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tangle had a much more complicated origin, I guess, but she always was Tangle because it worked on multiple levels. You know, she's a brawler. You're going to tangle with her. When she, you know, got the stretchy lemur tail design and she's wrapping things up, you get tangled by Tangled. So that was another case of the name comes first. I'm trying to think of somebody who came first body wise. I think Mimic was the Mimic Octopus first. And it's like, well, what do I call him? Can't just call him Mimic. That's the name of the species. What else? 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 No, Mimic works. All right, fine. He's Mimic. I want to say most of the Maropus cast from post-reboot was figuring out who their characters were first and then figured out what the best name for them came after that.
So you didn't come up with Echo the Dolphin first and then create the character from that?
No. That was strictly we have a background character. Okay, let's make it a dolphin. What do we name it? Let's call it Echo. That'd be funny. Wait, let's call it Echo. That'd be funny. And then we actually got a note back saying, you know, it has to be spelled E-C-H-O.
Yeah, yeah.
Because spelling it E-C-C-O would get us into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, so. there's some weird copyright shenanigans going on with the actual Echo, but but the name still works. What about Relic? It's a good name.
Yeah, I think her name came first because she was an archaeologist and whatnot.
Right, yep.
And that the Pika came second because it's like, okay, what makes sense for someone who is not immediately thought of as an offensive type species and would make sense for running around mountains and digging around things? It's like, you don't see Pikas a lot. So yeah, mine not a Pika. I think that's how it went.
Yeah. I like how she's kind of Lara Croft-esque. It's good. It's good. I miss her. I miss all of them, Ian. I miss them all the time. It makes me sad. Here's this one from Gab Sam. Is Silver telepathic? Is that part of his powers?
I don't think so. In Sonic Rivals, he has a psychic attack. What are they called? Psycho Control, I think they called it, or something like that, which reverses your controls and gives you a splitting headache. But that is the only game where he's shown any kind of telepathy. Everything else has been purely telekinesis. So that kind of falls under the realm of dubious canon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, you know, stuff where it's like Sonic can swim in Sonic Jam, but nowhere else. Do you count that one time that he can swim as he can swim or not? You know, Sonic Colors, Sonic can like infinitely jump underwater, effectively swimming, but he can't do it anywhere else. Where does it fall in his power set? So I'm inclined to say Silver is like pretty hard, just TK and no telepathy.
Maybe he can't like read your mind, but he can really screw around with it. I don't know what that would be like. I don't know how you do that without the telepathy part of it, though. So whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Unless he just reaches out with his TK powers and rattles your brain in his skull.
That could be it. Yeah, that could
shake you like a maraca.
Yes, indeed. And now we got a question from Miles T. Prower. Ian, we've heard about wanting a female villain. Can't wait for that Starline miniseries. But what about a male hero?
We have plenty. Is the thing.
Too many.
Like, the focus on the female cast is to kind of even things out. We have Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, and the Chaotix, and, you know,
I think it's time. I think it's time to start culling the herd, Ian. What do you think? You're known as the guy who kills off characters. Let's do some house cleaning. I'm kidding. Yeah. Do not do that.
But no, I don't think we're gonna have any more. I can't immediately foresee too many more new characters coming down the pipe. I could be wrong. I don't know what Evan has up her sleeve in all respects. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think we've got a big cast already just with the game characters. And then you've added in some new IDW exclusive characters, and it's like, okay, we're good for now. I think you've got a good cast. It's a big cast. All right, here's a question from Sean W. Given the treasure trove of properties in the IDW camp, i.e. TMNT, Transformers, Ghostbusters, etc. I don't think they have Ghostbusters anymore. What would be your dream crossover with the Sonic books, assuming Sega allowed it?
Sonic and TMNT, like, hands down.
That would be the best one and probably the easiest, most sensical one.
Yeah, that I am on board for immediately. You just gimme right now.
Transformers also could work, but TMNT is definitely more. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Transformers make sense. Giant robots and Sonic go together like chili on a chili dog. So,
yeah,
sure. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I mean, we've kind of covered the ideas of crossovers a lot on the show fairly recently, and Sonic is incredibly versatile. So a lot of properties could potentially mesh. It's just some easier than others, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want my Sonic TMNT like now. I want Sonic and Mikey chilling out with a chili dog pizza.
Yum yum. My Little Pony seems like it should be kind of a shoe-in, you'd think, but it hasn't happened mm-hmm. yet. I don't know. Maybe it will eventually at some point.
I don't know, because it's in the middle of transitioning into its new CG series, which is its own continuity from my understanding. So I don't know which type of pony would be accessible. I don't know. That one would require research and direction from Hasbro.
Yeah. Alrighty. I would not mind seeing a crossover event with Sonic and pretty much anything IDW owns. But where's Godzilla? I know it'll never happen. I know Toho would not go for it, but I want it.
Like, the minute IDW, you know, announced that they had that deal, I was like, yo, I know this is probably everyone pitching to you at once, but I got an idea. Can we do it? And it's like, no, just flat no. There's no way Toho would let it happen. It's like, damn.
Which is weird because they really love their crossing over with King Kong, but I don't know. Anyway, here's this one from Simon H. Does the reflection story in the 2020 annual inspire you to expand on Metal as an individual? If given the choice, how would you scribe an arc featuring him and Amy? Thank you.
Reflections was one of my favorites out of that annual.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it shows how you can just barely skate that line of giving more depth and character to Metal without deviating from, you know, the hard guidelines that he has to follow. That's the thing with so many of these characters, is they can't really change from where they are, you know? And Metal is especially hard, since part of who he is he's not very emotive, which drives me crazy sometimes. But, you know, Reflections shows that you can do it in a very smart way. I just don't know how much you can do with it. But then again, I didn't think of Reflections at all. Like, that one, that was one of those stories where I read, I'm like, I wish I had thought of that. I'm jealous of how smart the story is. So maybe I'm just not seeing the option. A story with him and Amy specifically, a whole arc. I don't know if I want to just spin that off the top of my head on air and, you know, it suddenly show up in the book like 2 years later. I don't want to like pitch something that I might actually do, but, I don't know. They got a little bit of history together. She's all about compassion and emotion, and he is not. Find a situation where they have to rely on each other for whatever reason and use their very conflicting worldviews and personalities to compare and contrast each other and lead to potentially interesting scenarios. I don't know. There's a thread there that mm-hmm. can be followed, but that's something I'd actually have to sit down and think about.
Yeah. I definitely could see some potential there, though. I like the idea. Here's a question from Pedro Nerd. Is Biolizard based around Perfect Chaos? Since where he lives in Ark resembles Lost World from Sonic Adventure 1, where is found Chaos's inscriptions? Plus, they're both similar.
I don't think so, because I don't see much of a resemblance. And some of the information that was sadly lost on the English side of things is that the Biolizard didn't start out a big honking monster. It was a smaller creature that he was experimenting on, and its growth just grew out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And the gigantic life support system just kept having to be upgraded and fitted onto the thing because it was outgrowing it, and you just couldn't internalize it, and he couldn't figure out a workaround. And Shadow was the breakthrough, and he only got that breakthrough because he got the cheat code that was Black Doom's DNA. So the correlations between the two are certainly there, the regions at least. Like, that is obviously a Master Emerald Shrine recreation in the Ark. Why? I don't know. But what does that have to do with the Eclipse Cannon? Was like, did he have that built as a potential safety measure, since the Master Emerald neutralizes the Chaos Emeralds and the Chaos Emeralds power the Eclipse Cannon? I don't know. I really don't know. But I don't think the Biolizard and Perfect Chaos are associated. I don't think there's a connection there.
Hmm. Yeah, one's just a giant, weird, freaky lizard, and the other one is a giant, freaky water lizard. I don't see any connection.
I mean, if they had similar attack patterns, or if they looked more alike, then I'd be more inclined to agree. But Biolizard has no tangible connection to the Chaos Emeralds, aside from using Chaos Control that one time. And it looks completely different than Perfect Chaos. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Not so perfect if it could get defeated. Perfect Chaos. Perfect Chaos, my butt. Sucks.
We have one last question, and it's for you, Kyle.
Hit me.
This comes to us from Levi C. Kyle, what shows have you watched recently?
Oh, man. Let's see. I recently finished watching the cartoon Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Good show, but I definitely have some criticisms. It seems like the female cast is frequently sidelined or kind of stuck just doing nothing or just spending all their time talking about the guys or doing other stuff. And that's like, what are you guys doing? Do other things. Miss Marvel is like hardly in it at all, which is a massive annoyance for me. Let's see, what else have I watched? Recently started watching the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. That's pretty entertaining so far. I'm not too far into it, but it's definitely got it's right on point with the style established in the, at least in the first Guardians movie. So should be neat to see how that one develops as I watch it further. What else have I been watching? I've been keeping up with the new season of Batwoman. That's fantastic. I highly recommend it if you have not been watching it. Both last season and this season have been great. And that's about it. I won't spoil anything. Just go watch it. And what else? Supergirl finished its series finale. And Lex Luthor never stole a cake. There was a wedding and everything. He had a cake. There was a cake right there, but he got shunted off. He got shunted off into the Phantom Zone before he could steal any cakes. So ruined forever. I hate it. Rude. Never stole any cakes. Oh well. Maybe he'll steal a cake some other way. Maybe I'll steal a cake in the Phantom Zone. There's cakes there, right?
I mean, I'm sure somebody somewhere tossed the cake in there.
Maybe. They got mad at the cake.
Maybe that's where the other Luther stashed his 40 cakes?
Maybe.
You steal them by proxy? I don't know.
Either way, yeah. Either way, the last two seasons of Supergirl were pretty dang rough, so I'm actually a little relieved that it's over. now the actors can go on and do better things, I hope. So I don't know what happened between seasons 4 and 5, but it just dropped off really, really, really bad. So I stuck with it though because I'm dumb.
The sunk cost fallacy. I've watched it this far. I might as well see it through.
I'm a glutton for punishment. I do like the characters. I just wish they were written better. And they actually like paid attention to their own lore and their own like history. It's like, do these writers not watch any of the previous seasons? And, you know, probably not. So there's like nobody keeping lore straight, nobody fact checking things. It was rough. It was rough. Oh well. Maybe there'll be another Supergirl series that actually does right by the character, because I love Kara, I love Supergirl, but those last two seasons especially were Something happened. It was not good. Anyway, that's about it, really. What about you? What are you watching, Ian? Anything? You watching a computer screen trying to write?
Yeah, pretty much.
a flurry of writing going on.
I'm either working on something or looking for work, and Aaliyah has been diving into all the new content that is Animal Crossing.
Mm.
And that's about it.
Mm. Content. Like, we like the content. And if you like this content, hey, throw a like on it. Or dislike, Whatever, we don't care.
Subscribe, ring the bell, comment, interact, whatever. Drive that algorithm.
Yes.
We have broken 2,000 followers. We'd like that number to keep going up. That'd be neat.
Subscribe more. I dare you. I dare you to subscribe. In the meantime, how about you give a shout out to all the lovely folks who helped make this show possible?
Yes, indeed. All the lovely folks over at patreon.com/bumblecast, ko-fi.com/bumblecast, or are a YouTube subscriber. Big thank you to Daniel H. and Alex B., James K. and John B., Jennifer R., Robotnik Holmes, Samuel P., Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B, Kooplin Crew 128, Do As Diz Din, Diane W, and Andrew D, Scruffy Matt, Chris A, Dave M, Salute Your Cat, Sony Off, and John M, Noni, Don B, J Frost, Yami M, Lee H K, Lisa M, Chevelle, and Jib, Hero of Light 13, Piggy Bank, Ryan D, Blue Title Gamer, Speedweed, Tick Tick, Final Neil, Justin S, Jonathan D, Rachel W, Ben Wolfsbane, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dadler the Dalek, Daniel B, Invade Turbo Tunis, PC the Unicorn, Fiona M, Dove, Red the Supernamic, Pandolci, Carlos, Joe S, Preston M, Fire Red XY, Chad, Jennifer H, Alphamon or Yukon, Chico D, Renard Pixel, Liz, Chase L, Spark Z, Owen BD, John the Real Waluigi, Sapphire Scarletta, Noah S, Delta Rune Jerry, Kojira Highwind Turbo Michi Alpha Wolf, Ava Wolf, sorry, Crooker, Kimiko, Red Wolf, Louis J, Callum Q, Radri, Professor Rye, Cameron H, Alex the Border Collie, In Zephyr, Maddie H, Phyllis Art, also known as Four Sonic Fan, Nemerk, Audrey Shrugged, Techno Cinema, Welcome Home, Buddy! And Scurvy Pirate Hog.
The heck was that?
It's in all caps. You're supposed to yell it.
Okay. I am glad. Yeah. Welcome home, buddy. I like it. Okay. Are we done?
We are done. We will see you Monday for another round of Priority Q&A. Until then, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and we will see you next time on the Bubblecast. I super D-double dog dare you to do that new intro for Bumblecast as the intro for next week.
No. No. It's terrible. It's awful. Maybe I'll put it at the end instead.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
It'd certainly wake them up at the beginning.
It would just be confused. Like, what? What's going on?
Maybe toss it in there every now and again just to keep people on their toes.
This is the new Bumblecast intro. Do-do-do-do. Bumblecast intro remix. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Bumblecast. It's time.
Sorry, I was expecting a call from the pharmacy and instead of somebody trying to sell me fake duct cleaning services.
Quack, quack. Get your duct cleaned. I know you said duct, but it's funnier if it's duct cleaning.
So I had to mess with them for a minute.
Okay. Sup, bros?
Yo, yo.
What it is, mother effers.
It is what it is.
Here comes Pac-Man.
Okay, if you insist.
So, you know, do you remember Bloodhound Gang? There's a song that they had where they meet Pac-Man and he tries to sell them drugs.
Okay.
Yeah. And Pac-Man is just one of them with their voice pitched up really high.
Well, of course.
Which is weird because in the 80s Pac-Man cartoon, Pac-Man's voice is real deep and smoky. It's got that smoker's voice.
I mean, he eats ghosts and they're nothing but vapor, so that can't be good for your spherical lungs.
No, probably not. You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
This is the Bumblecast. You're gonna listen to the Bumblecast. The people ask your questions and we answer. We sometimes flounder, but you get something in the end.
That's a way better intro than mine.
pay some money. We'll try to be funny here on the Bumblecast.
Try to be funny. We try. I don't know if we always succeed.
Humor is objective.
Yeah. I mean, I make myself laugh, but then again, I do that. I'm just giggly, so it doesn't really matter. See, I did it again.